Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action against Liverpool at Old Trafford. My final match watching live this season. But as I trailed in the last pod, he's back. The main man, the Everton fan, the Liverpool fan. Dennis, how are you, mate?
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for such a wonderful build-up. I'll be a disappointment now.
Now, one question I will ask, which has nothing to do with Manchester United. I mean, Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk scoring at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. I mean, in my head I thought it'll be gutted, but then he won't be because he supports both teams. I mean, what were your feelings at that moment? I really would like to know.
Of course it was gutted. Just for me, just another loss. It's about taking away the division that you're trying to create about, oh, you know, we've got beat by Liverpool. Of course, it's disappointing, but for me, it's just a loss of 3 points. That's the hard pill to swallow.
So, for Manchester United and Liverpool, two sides are probably going to make the Champions League. I would just like to say, I did think that if Brighton didn't beat Newcastle or get rid, yeah, they had to beat Newcastle, United would be in the Champions League guaranteed. They're not, because Bournemouth can still catch them. And if United lose all four of their games, Bournemouth win all four of their games, and there's a 14-goal swing, then Bournemouth could be in the Champions League. But the chances of that happening are slim. Bournemouth have actually just kicked off against Crystal Palace. So this is a game today that United really have just got to go out and just say, let's do it ourselves. Let's take down Liverpool. I mentioned after the shocker performance against Leeds, getting a result against Chelsea, then beating Brentford, which United managed to do. What an opportunity today to really, you know, cement that position in next season's Champions League. What are your thoughts on the game today, Dennis? I mean, you do want Liverpool to win, obviously.
Honestly, I've got no perspective on who I want to win.
You should see his face. So you want Man United to win?
No, I'll probably go and watch it and just watch it as a neutral without any emotion about the result. Seriously.
You should see his face here. But anyway, your thoughts on the game?
Well, it's one of those traditional rivalry games, isn't it, where both teams are normally up for the crowd, getting behind the teams, because it means more about the tradition. But I suppose this year there's some added spikes because of the Champions League places at stake. So, yeah, as a neutral, I think it should be a good game. I'd imagine it to be a very open attacking game. And from that perspective, I'd expect United to have the edge, if I'm honest. So I'd probably go for a 3-1 victory for United today.
3-1 for Manchester United is Dennis's prediction. So in regards of the United team, the team's not out. We'll be out in about sort of 10 minutes time. What sort of team do you think United will put out today?
I think he'll stick to the... I mean, he's not messed around with the team at all, has he? Other than injuries. So I think he'll go for the likes of... Obviously, Bruno's a mainstay, isn't he? He's the creative force in the team. I think Sesko's finding his feet now as well. You've got quite a few options, really, in terms of attacking options. You know them better than me, because obviously I don't follow United, or Liverpool for that matter.
He does follow Liverpool. But anyway, so Dennis, for the first time ever, I think this is possibly the first time you've ever predicted a United victory. I mean, why do you think that Liverpool won't be able to win today at Old Trafford?
I think basically I'm making that prediction because Liverpool defensively are so poor. And I know Everton didn't beat them, but we were a bit unlucky. But they're just fundamentally flawed at the back. So I think if United play their optimum game, they should expose Liverpool's weaknesses today.
Thanks for that, Dennis. And one other thing I do want to ask you, sort of obviously not about United or Liverpool, but obviously the Champions League, we're getting into the weeds of things. I want to ask you about the Premier League, because we discussed that last night. Arsenal chokers until they actually do it. Champions League, who do you think is going to win it?
Before the result last week, my vote would have been for Bayern Munich. And they can still turn it around, but Bayern Munich, PSG, it's a bit like the game that's going to take place today at Old Trafford. You're never quite sure which way it's going to go. However, overall, I think the best attacking team is probably PSG, but obviously home advantage to Bayern Munich. So it's a bit tentative. My tentative vote goes for Bayern Munich. But for today, I think because of Liverpool's defence being so poor, I'd go for United over Liverpool.
Well, yeah, today, but yeah. In the Champions League, you're saying that Bayern Munich are going to win it.
Yeah,
you think?
My comparison is about that both games are just going to be very open games, but ultimately, you know, United will have the advantage today, and the next time Bayern play PSG, because of the home advantage, that's why I'm going with them. Even though PSG are brilliant going forward, they're a bit flawed defensively as well.
Thanks for that, Dennis. And just to say, I mean, it'd be fantastic if we had a game like that, but Bayern PSG game with minimal defence, load of goals and United winning. It's funny you mentioned PSG there, Dennis, because you wanted Liverpool to beat them in the Champions League. So, you know, it doesn't follow Liverpool, remember. Just remember that, folks. But as always, Dennis, thanks very much. I am meeting Dennis post-match. In the pub, so we may get some more Dennis later on, which I'm sure you will all be looking forward to. But I will be back on with the team news in about 5 minutes, and I'll probably get a little bit more of Dennis once the news is out. So team news is in, and as Dennis said, Carrick doesn't make many changes, and the team is pretty much the same team that played against Brentford, but Cunha is back, so he slots in on the left-hand side. So it's Lemons in goal, back four of Dalot, Shaw, Maguire and Heaven, Casemiro and Mainoo and Bruno Fernandes, and then it's Cunha on the left and Bruno on the right and Sesko through the middle. Liverpool, no Isak, apparently he's injured. So I think it'll probably be Gakpo through the middle, it probably looks like, on that. So does that sort of make you think even more so that United will win this game? 3-1, he said, remember?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the lineups make me think I'm going to get it wrong. So, yeah, confident for United.
Well, let's just hope for United's sake that it's not Virgil van Dijk with a last-minute header. Brings about a damp squib like it did with Hill, Dickinson, Weldon, Everton. Although, as I say, Dennis was sort of semi-happy as well with that result as he moves towards me and I move away. So, as I say, United just need a point, but the plan should be get the victory and start well. It's not really a party because it's, sort of, as I say, the song will be sung today if United are leading or in a good position in the game, Champions League, Man United, as they say, standards through the floor at this football club. If they do make it today, at least they can start the planning now because a lot of work is still required. So I'll be back post-match as Dennis ups the volume on the TV. So back from the pub, back from the match. It finished Manchester United 3, Liverpool 2 in a topsy-turvy game that United won, then lost, then won again. Or I should really say nearly lost, then won again. In regards to the game, I mean, feeble is the word. I mean, Liverpool in the first half were absolutely shocking. And United basically took advantage. I mean, the fact they were only 2 goals up at half-time was probably the reason why things sort of went a bit awry at the start of the second half. Early goals from Cunha and from Sesko put United 2-0 up within the first 15 minutes of the game. Again, like against Brentford, they started off quick and fast after the Leeds game where they were shocking in that first half. I mean, they were shocking until they sent it off, really. They started quickly, got themselves 2 goals up and in complete control of the game. Bruno Fernandes really should have made it 3-0. I've been to Old Trafford and watched some shockers. I mean, the Gerrard 3-0 with, thankfully he didn't get his hat-trick of penalties, the 5-0. There's the 7-0 at Anfield. I forgot about that. I mean, I wasn't at that game, but that shocker. But at this stage, at 2-0 at half-time, I mean, he should have been more. than United, really. You're thinking to yourself, we could get any score. I mean, Liverpool did have a few opportunities in the first half. They had good possession, but it was all long-range shots. I mean, Lamens didn't have a save to make. So into the second half, you do expect Liverpool to do better. I mean, and Mbeumo had a chance early in the second half, just couldn't get a shot away. And then United, unfortunately, Amad gave the ball away to Szoboszlai on the halfway line. And, you know, it was a great run for Szoboszlai, but he had a long way to go. I mean, Harry Maguire was caught out, Dallow was caught out, and it, to be honest, it was a brilliant finish. But he was so far away from the goal. I mean, it could have been stopped, even if it was just to foul him, basically. But that gave Liverpool sort of that impetus. I mean, the energy and momentum United had gained in the first half was gone within minutes within that second half. And then the equaliser for Liverpool, an absolute shocker from Le Mans. It's his first Anana. He has made a few slight technical errors, maybe with odd saves, where shots that maybe he could have saved. But those are going to be things that he'll be thinking himself, I should not be making that mistake. I have to do better with that. And he has. He's been one of United's, arguably, you could argue he's up there with one of United's player of the season with performance issues that United had in goal at the start of the season. But the pass out was an absolute shocker. I don't know. I think it went to, I don't know who it went to. I think it was McAllister. And then little touch into Szoboszlai, back to Gakpo, simple goal. I mean, I was at the other end of the ground. We were sort of thinking, has the referee blown his whistle or what? And an equaliser for Liverpool. Liverpool were well on top, but this was within 10 minutes of the, within 10, 15 minutes of the second half. Lamens, after that, was a bit poor with his distribution, but he made a really important stop from a free kick from Liverpool. Great crossing again, Szoboszlai. Great crossing. Then it was headed across, and Lamens got to it with his foot. I mean, as I say, I've watched some bad games. I mean, losing a two-goal lead and maybe losing 3-2, or possibly, you know, even worse against this Liverpool. But as I say, the first half, they were feeble and United were all over them, and United could have been out of sight in that first half, at least minimum 3-0 up with the opportunities that they had. And you're sort of thinking to yourself, what the hell is going on here? Are United going to actually throw this away? As I say, they needed to get the result, you know, but to be honest, a point would have been decent enough for both. And I did mention that to my friend. But United, bit by bit, managed to get a little bit of a grip into the game. And then a little breakout. Nice play from Dorgu, Mainu into Cunha. Then a lovely ball into Luke Shaw. Crossed over Amad with a header back. I was happy he was involved. I mean, McAllister should be doing better with his clearance, but it was Mainu who got there at the edge of the box. He's got four for scoring important goals against Liverpool. He scored a goal that bad in one match. I mean, Liverpool did equalise eventually in that game. But this time, it ended up as the winner. You got a little past finish into the back of the net. And the third game of the best for Colby New, where he's really been a player that really influenced within that midfield area. And that was a huge goal for United. It was just to wrest the ascendancy away from Liverpool. The game had lulled a little bit. But if you were going to pick a team that was going to win the game at that stage, you were thinking Liverpool. And to be fair to Dennis, I mean, he said 3-1. But he spoke about the Liverpool defence. I mean, to be honest, he mentioned both defences being weak. But he mentioned that the Liverpool defence is weaker. And you could get at that Liverpool defence. And United, as I say, with that, you could argue that all the goals, it wasn't the greatest defending. As I say, Cunha's first goal was so he had two opportunities from a corner that had no name on the end of the box. So, you know, United took their advantage, when United got the 3-2 up, they managed to see the game out, and the qualification for the Champions League assured for next season. So I'll be expecting, my friend will then say, the curator who shares his ticket with, he'll probably be getting an email very soon. I've already had my emails about, about memberships and stuff like that. So for United, it's huge. This is absolutely huge, getting into the Champions League. I mean, the manager spoke about it being a real achievement, making the Champions League. whereas a few days earlier it said it's not necessarily something to celebrate. So I mean, to be fair, he was a player under Sir Alex Ferguson. He said one thing one week, something else the next week, but it's all about getting results. And to be fair, Michael Carrick, he has got the results, and he's probably in pole position to get the manager's job. But the key thing and the important thing is, obviously, Jason Wilcox will need to make sure that he's dotted his I's and crossed his T's and made sure that he's done his due diligence. As I say, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if there is something in maybe Carrick's contract, if he manages to get Champions League, he gets, not just he gets a job, but he's in pole position, as long as he can show exactly what he would do to prove that. Because we've had in a number of games, periods, where United have been good in games, but then periods where United have been poor in games. And then maybe decisions that Carrick's making sort of from the sidelines haven't been the best one. I mean, the best thing he actually has done is made sure he's never brought Tyrrell Malacia onto the pitch. Although what might happen now is Tyrrell Malacia might get a farewell game, maybe against Brighton. But I think what we will get now is we'll get sort of maybe some of the youngsters playing, because next season, with, as I say, I mentioned this in the last pod, Manchester United will play at least now 48 games next season, minimum. This season they play 40 maximum. And when you play one game a week, we watch the Spurs game afterwards, a solid 2-0 victory. Spurs will be dangerous playing one game a week with the players that they have. And with a manager, we saw what Roberto De Zerbi did with Brighton when he had one game a week. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And obviously, United can properly start planning now. They can look at the finances, which are a bit of a nightmare, because obviously with the number of games and the lack of revenue coming into the football club, we'll be very interested to see what the numbers are when they do come out. But obviously next season there will be an injection. But the important thing is they want to be going to the Champions League and not just be also vans. As I say, the target has to be, for me, just finish 24th, just finish 20th, like finishing 17th in the Premier League, isn't it? For newly promoted sides, for Manchester United, getting in the 24 at least is the way forward. Because as I say, I mean, obviously you want to get in the top 8 so you get straight through to the final 16. But for Manchester United, just getting out of that group phase into the knockout phase will be seen as a positive. But there's lots of work that needs to be done. Obviously, the manager needs to be decided. And also, the other thing that needs to be decided is what players are going to be coming in. And, let's see what happens. As I say, remember, there's a World Cup this summer. So getting your players, you need to be getting them in before the World Cup starts and having everything ready before they go pre-season. I'm not sure what the pre-season is, but as I say, excellent bounce back from Manchester United after the shocking performance against Leeds. They've bounced back well. They got the points against Chelsea. So, as I say, they've had fortune against Chelsea and against Brentford. Those two games could easily have been draws. But Chelsea could potentially have been a defeat. But United, that was a big result. Getting the result against Brentford, I mentioned about, then you have the opportunity against Liverpool to finish it off, get that qualification into the Champions League. They tried their best to throw it away, but they got it over the line. As I say, a huge Kobbie Mainoo goal. But it's in the week that he signed his new contract. But as I say, the standards at the football club have to be, that has to be what we see week in, week out. And remember, next season, he's probably going to be the only senior midfielder that is left at the football club because Casemiro is leaving. Gart is likely to go. As I say, three senior central midfielders at this football club who can actually play central midfield. As I say, I know you've got Bruno Fernandes who can play in there, but he's not at his best in that position. He's much better further forward. So, huge result. As I say, for me, not something to celebrate. It's something to look at and think to yourselves, can Jason Wilcox, now the Jason Wilcox regime, as I say, he sacked Ruben Amorim on non-footballing reasons, but arguably you could easily say that he's got that decision right, because now they're in the Champions League, but now the work really starts. What are Manchester United? They have been a football team that has played in the Champions League for maybe one or two seasons, and then that's it. And as I say, the players will be happy because they're going to get big pay rises. But these players have to continue to perform week in, week out. And as I say, you hear about all the players saying really nice things about Michael Carrick. What else are they going to say about the manager? Let's be perfectly honest. It's about their performances on the pitch. And at times against Liverpool today, you saw that they can drop off. They dropped off in a lot in other games as well. I mean, you can go back to the Fulham game, which was similar. 2-0 up, then 2-2. I mean, to be honest, Fulham deserved a point, to be perfectly honest, from the way they performed. They were lucky to be 2-0 down. Liverpool weren't, and it could have been a lot worse. But United still managed to allow them back in. But thankfully, they saw it and finished it off, thankfully, too, thanks to Kobbie Mainoo's finish. As I say, I'm happy for Ahmad, whose head was going down a little bit after giving the ball away for this Szoboszlai goal. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.musicglobal.co.uk, up as various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast. Search MUSC Global and you will find, well, in your favourite search engine, and you will find the pod. So next up is Sunderland. It's a 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Oh, actually, be at a beer festival. So it'll be, so the pod probably come on Sunday, I think, because I'm going to have to probably rewatch a game. I'll try it. I will. The plan's to listen to it at the time it's on. I can't be completely antisocial, but I'll be dipping in. But it helps that there's less for Manchester United on the game. And I think we'll, as I say, we'll see opportunities for other players to get games. And, you know, I think you've got to try and blood some of these youngsters now, because at the end of the day, they're probably going to have to play next season, because now they're going to have to need a much bigger and stronger squad. As I say, Sesko went off today, injured. So you're left with Ahmad, couldn't you? And Bergman's your only forward option. So you're going to need further forward options. The midfield is a shambles in regards of the players that are going to be left to the football club, just one senior player. And defensively, I think the players are there. Obviously, Harry Maguire is signed his new contract. Don't know what's happening with Lisandro Martinez. Obviously, Luke Shaw's still there. He had a good game today, but there's still question marks. And, you know, maybe if decent bids come in, you deal with them, but you have to have a plan. And let's hope Jason Wilcox has that plan for the trading of the players. So, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back after the Sunderland game on Saturday. And just one final thing, one little bit of a bonus. I didn't hear, personally myself, Champions League Man United. Because as I say, the question has to be, you know, is that all United are aiming for now? Because those standards are low. As I say, the manager's mentioned it's an achievement getting there. Fair enough, but there's a lot of work to be done. And as I say, will it be Michael Carrick at the helm? Is he going to be the Zinedine Zidane? That will be the interesting question. As I say, I've mentioned Iraola, and people could say he might not be able to make the step up to the bigger club, but you know, I'm just looking at the body of work with less quality materials. So, as I've said before, Carrick's in position. Do you take the gamble of somebody that's in the role, in the company, and somebody else in another role, in another company, who's doing a good job with lesser tools? Do you make that decision to swap them out? That's up for Jason Wilcox to decide. And that's why he's paid the money. And we'll actually see what Jason Wilcox is really about. He's got his first big decision, arguably, right? Now the real decisions come about. So as always, thanks for listening. We'll be back on Sunderland game next Saturday. Although it might be Sunday morning, possibly. Got a busy weekend.